On the iron range, shutdown is a common word. It refers to the sort of routine production stoppages at big mines, paper, and power plants that allow workers to perform maintenance on major pieces of equipment. These shutdowns employ large crews who work harder than at any other time of the year so that the shutdowns can end soon. The word also refers to a final shutdown, when a similar large facility goes to the big steam cloud in the sky, leaving behind legions of unemployed people, forever affected by the layoff, even though they are too Minnesotan to ever talk about it. These shutdowns employ salvage crews who strip components and weld the doors shut for the next owners who may not exist. In this context, it's hard to classify the potential state government shutdown looming over the people of Minnesota this week. For starters, it will add no employment in any way. The shutdown is neither permanent nor limited. It will end at an arbitrary time in the future, controlled by forces several levels removed from the performance of government function. You cannot talk about this story without talking about politics. You have probably heard some try, crafting statements like, "I just wish both sides would compromise so that this could be avoided." "I wish for a pony." "No, wait, I meant to say unicorn." This skepticism is not because I hold all politicians in universal disregard. These are humans, capable of horse trading for a solution. It's that the more you understand about politics as it currently stands, the more you realize that we are dealing with more war than politics, a conflict which will require unwilling sacrifice before there can be agreement. The old saying goes that you can't talk about politics or religion without causing arguments, but this story involves both, and the topic can no longer be avoided. Politics today is more personal and visceral, partly because the information age keeps political debate in a near-constant state of tumult. Politics, for many, including many in the legislature, is its own sort of religion. People hold firm beliefs that only the enactment of the purest form of their agenda will solve the state's problems. For some, this includes the belief that reducing the size of government, shrinking its workforce, and weakening its unions will create a private sector utopia that will generate unprecedented growth and prosperity, rendering unnecessary the government services once offered. For others, this includes the belief that restored funding levels to some fixed point in the past, most often the 1970s, will itself repair modern ills. This religious dispute is not open to discussion. The believers seek conversions, not compromise. Minnesota is merely the first state to encounter this pressure. Our unique combination of progressive government, populist heritage, and traditions of religiosity and small-c conservatism put us first in line, but others will join the misery parade soon enough. You may blame politics, you may blame government, you may blame your least favorite political party. Politics and government are really extensions of culture. They are not to blame, we are responsible. We must provide the solution. For proof, observe next week as we pay the price.